woke up, and it's just got wetter and wetter as the day has gone on. But never mind, we're here to worship together. Couple of notices, well, just to remind us really, if you've been watching the screen, and I'll go through this in chronological order, they're all important, but particularly this coming Wednesday, it's the service followed by lunch. Then on Saturday, in all this dreadful weather, it's the film afternoon. If you've got nothing else you'd like to do, come and keep dry. And on Sunday, it's our toy service. So if you've got any toys or any gifts, as we've been asking for during the previous weeks, please bring them along. They're just as happy, and actually, a bit like my grandchildren, I give them money. You don't always know what children want these days, do you? It's a bit tricky, but Wood Street will know. So cash donations, either cash or on the card machine, will be gratefully accepted on behalf of Wood Street, and we will make sure it gets to them in time for them to do something really special with Santa and Christmas down at Wood Street Mission. That's all I've got to announce, so welcome to our worship, and we ask Ros to lead us in our service today. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith, and good morning. It's good that we can be together to worship God and to share in Holy Communion this morning. We're going to begin by hearing what God says to us. God declares, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. And we stand to sing our first hymn together, "Crown Him with Many Crowns."
Please be seated.
Well, I'm making my way over here because there seems to be a lovely crowd of people playing instruments, playing with the toys. And somebody, not telling tales, but somebody was a little bit upset coming in, but everybody seems happy now. Is that okay? Happy to be here. So, sorry? It was Alex, but I think we all feel a bit like that early in the morning on a cold, wet day, don't we? So, is there something special happening this morning that you're here for, specially? Puddles, somebody says. Puddles, muddy. So it's muddy church this morning. Yeah? So what do you do when you go to muddy church? You put your boots on, that's a good start. So you put your boots on and you go outside, okay. And then what do you do? It is a hard crowd, it is, isn't it? I know. So do you go out and look for things? Yes, and how do you see them? Are they all great big things that you're looking for in the garden? Yes? Oh, once you toasted marshmallows. Okay, was it on a wet, rainy day like this? No. Sorry?
It would be very hard to toast one if it was on a wet, rainy day, wouldn't it be?
It would be, yes, yes. She's quite right. She's... Sorry? Okay, do you want to tell everybody that? Yeah. She's speaking to me in words of one syllable, which is probably the best way to speak. Go on then. Why are you not going to toast marshmallows today?
Because it's a wet, rainy day and also the fire would be put out.
You said a different word though, didn't you?
And the fire would be extinguished by the water.
It would be extinguished by the water, yeah, brilliant. So probably not toasting marshmallows today? Not today. So what do you hope you might be doing out there? Splashing in puddles, yeah? Splashing anything else? What are we doing? Oops.
We're going to be looking for signs of autumn and things that are getting ready, and then talking about what we might be getting ready for.
Okay, so you're going to be looking for signs of autumn and getting ready. Okay, brilliant. Well, I hope you have a lovely time doing that. Before you go, we've got some celebrations that I thought you might like to stay for and celebrate with us. So, as we have been doing recently, once a month, we try to encapsulate all the celebrations that people may have during this month of November. I know we're nearly at the end of it, but I think it's the first time I've been here with you this November. So, has anybody celebrated or yet to celebrate anything in November? Go on, Margaret. So, Margaret's birthday's Friday. Are you going to tell us? Is it polite to ask or... 90. Margaret's going to be 90. Yeah. So Margaret's going to be 90 on Friday, and she's brought some lovely cakes. So make sure you come back from Woody Church in time to get some cakes, won't you? So thank you, Margaret, for that. Thank you. Any other celebrations this month? Were they? Well, we can still... Oh, I've missed the cake. Is there anybody we can still mention, though, even if we... Somebody's pointing forwards. Roger. Roger's trying not to look conspicuous. Oh, so Roger had his 80th birthday last week. Congratulations. Any others? Anything doesn't have to be just birthdays. Okay, so we've had two birthdays, so we'll sing in a moment. And we've had, I think we can welcome back, I know some of you have been here when I've not been here, but we have wanderers in a sense returning. So we've got
Carol back with us, which is just wonderful. And we've got Phil and Bernie back with us, which is wonderful. It's lovely, isn't it? It's like the family getting back together again and everybody in their places and part of us. And everybody is welcome, of course. If it's your first time or if you're coming back or you've been lots of times, everybody's welcome. But it's good to see people back that have been away for a while. It's wonderful. Anything else? No? Okay. I think we'll sing Happy Birthday to Margaret and then Roger. Okay, so we'll just sing to Margaret. It is a hard audience this morning, isn't it? It's been hard over there. I can't get you to celebrate over here. Okay, right, okay. We'll sing to Margaret. Margaret, do you mind if we sing to you? Do you mind if we sing to you? Okay, lovely. Let's sing to Margaret.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Margaret. Happy birthday to you.
Hip hip, hip hip. Okay, and I think the Muddy Church crew are ready to go. Shall we just say a prayer with them before they go? We thank you, Lord, for the children who are with us this morning. We pray you'll bless them as they go out to Muddy Church, that they will enjoy themselves, that they will see signs of autumn. They'll talk about the things that they're getting ready for and looking forward to. And most of all, Lord, we pray that they will meet you and know your presence with them. We pray you'll bless them and us during the rest of this service. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And so let us pray together, and the responses will be on the screen. So let us pray, saying together, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people, and kindle in us the fire of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God. Gracious and holy God, we say together. Oops, oh dear. It's okay, Margaret, I call you Margaret. Okay. So, let us confess our sins to God. We say together. Gracious and holy God, we confess that we have sinned against you and against our neighbor. Your Spirit gives light, but we have preferred darkness. Your Spirit gives wisdom, but we have been foolish. Your Spirit gives power, but we have trusted in our own strength. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, forgive our sins and enable us by your Spirit to serve you in joyful obedience to the glory of your name. Amen. There is now no condemnation for those who live in union with Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Thanks be to God.
And now John will bring for us our reading from Holy Scripture this morning.
The reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 25, and beginning to read at verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not gathered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen.
Thank you, John. And let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I wonder which of those 3 servants you would have been. What do you think? You'd be the last one. So you'd have been the last one and you'd have been scared, okay? Anybody think they'd have been one of the other 2? Yeah, David?
Okay, so you'd have been one of those first two investing those talents. Okay, well, as we said, there were three servants, but the emphasis really in this parable is on that third servant and his relationship with the master. We hear more about the third servant, and the third servant speaks quite a bit during that parable, which is unusual in parables. So he is the focus, really, of the story. So as we heard, the master gave this third servant one bag of gold. He buried it, and when the master returned, the servant presented him with that same one bag of gold. And as we heard, he finds himself in big trouble. The two servants who made a profit for the master, by contrast, are praised and invited to share in the master's joy. In some versions of the Bible, it says one talent rather than one bag of gold. And a talent in those days was equivalent to 15 years of a labourer's pay. So one bag was worth 15 years of salary. So it was a lot of money, never mind the amount that the master gave to the other two. So it was a lot of money that he had been given custody of. I think we've already heard what David thinks, but what do you think about the way the master treats this third servant? What's your immediate reaction when you hear that parable?
Unjustified.
Unjustified, yeah? There's quite a lot of nods. Yeah? Unkind? Yeah? Sorry? Yeah. Yeah, so he hadn't lost any money, he hadn't invested it badly, it just hadn't gone up. Okay, so most of us don't think, or don't, some of us have problems, don't we, with that parable. It does seem unfair. And I must admit, I feel the same about it. As we've said, he didn't steal that money, did he? 15 years worth of wages, he could have got a long way away from where he was, couldn't he, with that. But he didn't steal it. He didn't lose it in the street by not looking after it. He didn't invest it unwisely and lose it all that way. He took what was considered to be the safe and sensible choice in Jesus's day, that of burying it carefully somewhere safe so that he could retrieve it when necessary. We see that in this country, don't we, when archaeologists or quite often metal detectors are working in a field. And the metal detector goes off and they dig down and they find a hoard of coins or jewellery or something that somebody a long time ago has buried for safekeeping, intending to go and get it back when the time was safer or the time was right. So that's something that's happened for a long time. And he took that safe option. And who could blame him, really? And yet the master is far from pleased. The servant defends himself by saying, "Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." That also seems fairly reasonable of the servant, doesn't it? From what we know about the situation of servants of that period and slaves in that period of history, they really didn't want to upset their master, did they? It was the difference between life and death. So then what is Jesus trying to say here? Well, I don't think it is about investing in the stock market, is it? I don't think it's about making as much money as you can. I don't think it's really about money at all. It's really about the master and his servants and about the relationship that they have together. We only hear how the third servant viewed his master. We don't hear how the others thought of the master. And the servant says that he was afraid. He was afraid. The other servants don't seem to have been afraid. They took a chance with that immense wealth that had been entrusted to them. So who's correct? The one who was afraid or the one who, or the two who weren't? Could it be that this third servant was incorrect in his perception of the master's character? If we have a look back through the passage, we can see what evidence there might be. Doing this, we can see that the master gives to each servant an enormous amount of his wealth to look after. So the master shows a great deal of trust in each of them. We can see that he doesn't give the same amount to each. It says they were given the amounts according to their ability. So this master knew these servants well. He must have had a close enough relationship with them. They were much more than unnoticed, faceless, sometimes nameless servants that people had in those days. Sometimes the servants were called by numbers, not by names. But this master knew them, and he knew their ability. They were noticed, and their abilities were assessed. And there's no criticism at all of them having different abilities. But the master was careful to only give them what they could manage. He didn't want to overwhelm them by the responsibility that he gave to them. So he must have cared for them. He must have cared for their well-being. And then we see that the master goes away. He moves aside and gives these three servants the space to do their best with what they've been given. When he returns, he is presented with his wealth again. He invites the first two servants to enter his joy, so they also have a share in the rewards of their efforts. So this master is generous. The first two servants, I think, saw this in the master, and so they trusted him. They weren't afraid of him. And so they weren't afraid to take risks in order to do their best for the master. The third servant, though, seems to have been held back by his perception of the master. He didn't feel that he could trust him. He felt that the master was a hard taskmaster. And so he didn't risk anything, and he missed out on sharing in the master's joy. He missed out on hearing the master call him good and faithful servant. This parable in Matthew is set amongst Jesus's teaching about how to live while waiting for him to return. So if in this parable God is the master and the servants are you and me, then the story is about how we invest all that God has given us, all that God has blessed us with, for God's service in the kingdom while we await Jesus' return. And of course, the things that God has blessed us with, they could be gifts and talents of our personalities, it could be practical or academic skills, it could be money, it could be power, it could be the resources for us to be hospitable, to offer shelter or food, or to give generously. It could be the gift of time, to spend time with people. It could be that your talent or mine is being an encourager, being a listening ear, being prayerful, being a peacemaker. The talents, the bags of gold that our master entrusts to us could be all of these or some of them and many others. The talents or the gifts could also be the treasures of Holy Scripture, the gospel with which we have all been entrusted. Whichever it is and whatever it is, we've been given these gifts, these talents, these resources to grow and multiply the kingdom of heaven while we await Jesus' return in glory. I guess, though, like the third servant, the extent to which we will return the talents to God with interest depends upon our perception of God and our relationship with God. If we see God as the first two servants did, and we serve God with joy and trust, knowing God's love for us, then we'll be willing to take risks to grow the kingdom with what we have. If, however, we're like the third servant and perceive God to be a hard taskmaster, if we're fearful of God's wrath, then we'll behave more like the third servant. We'll hold close whatever God has given us. We will bury it. It won't grow. It won't produce fruit. And it won't spread out amongst other people. So each of us, every one of us, has received gifts and talents given by God, carefully tailored to us so that we can use them to spread the good news and the kingdom of God. We've each been called and equipped to serve the Master in his household. And the Master wants us to be good and faithful servants, to trust and to take risks, to think big, to be confident that God is generous and trusting of us, that God doesn't micromanage us, but gives us space to develop our gifts, and that God is overjoyed when we do and shares that joy with us. So don't be fearful. Know God's love and God's favour for you. Take risks for the kingdom and let's see what can happen. Amen. And we sing together. Hear the call of the kingdom. And we come to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray together. Gracious God, whose Spirit helps us in our weakness and guides us in our prayers, We pray for the church and for the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Renew the life and faith of the church. Strengthen our witness and make us one in Christ. Grant that we and all who confess that Christ is Lord may be faithful in your service and filled with the Spirit, that the world may be turned to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the nations in the ways of justice, liberty, and peace. Help them to seek the unity and welfare of all people. And this morning we hold before you, Lord, the situation in Israel, Palestine, and Gaza. We hold before you the situation in Ukraine. And we hold before you other parts of the world that are in turmoil, that we don't hear about on our news. Places where ordinary people, people like us, have their lives marred by violence, corruption, and war. People who just want to go about their daily business in peace, looking after their friends and their families. Lord, we pray, give to all in authority wisdom to know and strength to do what is right. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, that you will comfort those in sorrow. And we continue to remember the family and friends of Hilda Sigley. And we hold in our prayers the family of David Wheelock and the family of Gary Frost in their loss. We pray, Lord, that you will heal the sick in body or in mind and deliver the oppressed. And in the silence, we bring before you, Lord, those who for whom we would pray especially this morning. Grant us compassion for all who suffer, and help us to carry one another's burdens, that we may fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our thanks and praise for all who have served you faithfully here on earth, and especially those who have revealed to us your grace in Christ. May we and all your people share the life and joy of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray a blessing over the offering. We thank you, Lord, for the many ways that you bless us day by day. And we thank you for this opportunity to return to you these gifts of money brought today and sent via the internet. But with them, we offer you our lives, with the gifts and talents in which that you have given to us. And we pray that you will lead us to use all these to further your kingdom in this place and to bring glory to your name. Amen. And so we come to the peace. And again, we'll taking the wave of peace, I think, this morning. So please stand or sit, however you feel most comfortable, as we join in the peace. That was a unanimous vote, wasn't it? No? Please do sit if you want to. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Let us therefore keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us offer each other the wave of peace. And we sing together our communion hymn, Here is Bread, Here is Wine. Please stand or be seated as you wish for the great prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Should we do that enthusiastically? Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy, gracious and holy Father, always and everywhere, to give you thanks. In the beginning, your Spirit swept across the face of the waters, bringing order and beauty out of chaos. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. Though we turned away from you, your love remained steadfast, and you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of the world. At his baptism in the Jordan, he was anointed by your Spirit and revealed as your beloved Son. In the power of the Spirit, he was sent to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. Sharing our human nature, he died on the cross. Raised again in glory, he lives forever to pray for us. By the gift of the Spirit whom you have sent in his name, you bring to completion the work of your Son, leading us into all truth,
making us a people for your praise and giving us power to proclaim the gospel in all the world. And so, with all the faithful of every time and place, we join with choirs of angels in the eternal hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night before he died, the Lord Jesus took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of all his mighty acts, we offer you these gifts and with them ourselves as a holy living sacrifice. Send forth your spirit, bind us in love. You renew the face of the earth. Pour out your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us, the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him and with one another in mission to all the world, and bring us with the whole creation to your heavenly kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. It'll be on the screen in the traditional version, I think. Yes, please be seated if you wish. But if you would like to say it in a different version or in a different language, then please do. So as our Saviour taught his disciples, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Please be seated. In a moment, we will share Holy Communion together. The communion stewards will direct you forwards, and we'll try the system that we have where people come down from the back to the front and round. If that's too far for you to walk, then please take a shorter cut so everybody feels comfortable coming forward. And as always, this is an open table. Everyone is invited to take communion, whether they have been baptised or not, whether they're a member of this Methodist church or not. Anybody who wishes to is welcomed by God. So, receive this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ, and feed on the Lamb of God with reverence and with faith. Amen. Of Christ given for you. The body 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 of Christ given for you. And the body of Christ given for you. 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 Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Given for you.
Amen.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. And the body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The 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 body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The 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 body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you.
body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. And the body of Christ given for me. And so let us pray together. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. And may the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you, now and always. Amen. And we sing our final hymn together this morning. Great is the darkness that covers the earth.
Great is the darkness that
The Spirit of truth, lead us into all truth. Give us grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to proclaim the word and works of God, and the blessing of God, Spirit, Son, and Father, remain with us always. Amen. We go into the world in the power of the Spirit to fulfill our high calling as servants of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.